Welcome. Happy Palm Sunday. How's everybody doing today? Great to be with you. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. I want to throw a picture up real quick of all of our campus pastors. They preached last week and did an amazing job. Check out this picture. Let's throw that up real quick. Can we do that? This is a great shot of all of them. There it is. Isn't that great? Let's give it up for all of our campus pastors. They preached last week, did an outstanding job. I'm so proud of them. And again, thank you guys for doing a great job. And I got some much-needed time away, and I'm very thankful for that, to get ready for Easter. And so today is Palm Sunday, and that's celebrated all around the world, actually. And I thought, since we're talking, since it's on Palm Sunday, let's talk about where that's in the Bible. Like, where do we get that from? And it's actually called the triumphal entry, when Jesus enters Jerusalem. And most of Jesus' ministry was outside of big cities. And so he's from Bethlehem, which is from the south side, and of Jerusalem. And so it was a little small community. The only reason anyone even knows what Bethlehem is because Jesus is from there. I mean, it's not like a large area, and so and this is not where you'd pick a king to come from, honestly. And so, but I love how God is sending us just a subtle message with that, to say no matter where you are, you may feel like you're insignificant, that no one even knows where you are or what you do, but listen, Jesus came from a small little community and changed the world. And so God has you where he wants you, and he will do great things through you right where you are. So just be encouraged today. And so I want to jump into scripture today and just go through John chapter 12 and then also Matthew 21. It's the same story from different angles. We're going to unpack this, but let me show you John chapter 12. It says, a large crowd took palm branches and went down to the road to meet him. They shouted, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And so this is where we get Palm Sunday. It's because it took palm branches. And so we happen to know the kind of branches because John's the only one who said that. He was an eyewitness. They were all eyewitnesses to seeing this, but John's the only one who wrote the detail down that it was palm branches. And so I love palm trees. We have them here in South Texas. If you're watching from somewhere up north, if you ever come to our locations here in South Texas, we've got Florida palms, we've got Texas palms, and they're just beautiful. We love palm trees. And so one thing that's unique about a palm tree is that it doesn't break. They bend, but they don't break. And I really believe that that's part of the reason why God let it be a palm tree. You know, look at the details of scripture, and the things you think they're insignificant actually are significant. So I want to encourage you today that you may be going through something, but you know, palms were designed for storms. Isn't that cool? God designed a palm. We forget that. Oh yeah, he designed them, right? He's a creator. So he designed you and I to bend but not break. You may be going through some things right now, but God's saying, hey, you're going to be fine. Even if you're completely all the way over, you feel like you're barely hanging on, when that wind stops, you'll pop right back up, and you'll be fine. So I just want to encourage you. In fact, the only thing that kills palms is freezes. And so I want to encourage you that you may be going through a big storm, just don't grow cold in your faith. So help someone today? You hang in there. You can get through this. You're going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine. I haven't gotten into scripture yet. Let's just go. You guys ready? You guys ready to dive in? Let's do this. Let's talk about Palm Sunday. I love the scripture. Matthew chapter 21. Let's just go verse by verse through this. I got 7 points. I'm going to go really quick. And so I speak about 350 words a minute with Gus up to 750. Here we go. All right. Matthew chapter 21 says this. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. We're going to talk about two. That's important. He didn't send one. He sent two on ahead, and he gave them instructions. But I noticed the word sent, and I want to just stop right now and just tell you that wherever you are in life, God sent you there. It's not by accident. And so, number one, live your life sent by Jesus. Let me tell you why this is important. We oftentimes feel like we're stuck. We feel like, I'm not in a job I want. I'm not in a situation I want. I wanted to get into this college, but I didn't get in there, so I'm going to have to go to that college. And so we feel like we're not where we want to be. But I want to encourage you, rather than being discouraged and always looking to get into the next thing that you want, recognize that God has you where you are for a reason. He sent you there. And so this changes the way you look at your situation, your circumstances. I have a friend, and him and his wife, they pastor in West Texas. And great pastors, do a great job, have an amazing ministry. She came down with a debilitating disease, and you can imagine most people would just shake their fists at God and say, I'm serving you, and you let this happen to me, you know? And God does not cause disease, I'll be real clear here, but God does allow us to go through things. He doesn't cause evil, but he allows evil to enter our lives because he gave us free choice, which means bad things can happen to us. And so she has this debilitating disease, but I love the fact that when she went to her doctor, she didn't know any of these doctors. She had very specific doctors that dealt with this particular disease. She ended up working with this particular doctor for months after months after months, and guess what she did? She led him to Christ. Rather than being frustrated and feeling stuck, she realized, I have been sent by this disease, therefore, ultimately, by God, to minister to those that work on this disease. So she led him to Christ. And so I just want to encourage you that you may feel stuck. You may feel like you're on plan B, but God sent you there for a reason. You may feel like I'm stuck with these coworkers and I really should be the boss. Maybe God is not advancing you to your next role yet because he's saying, I want you to be sent to these people to minister to them. So rather than being frustrated that you're not where you want to be, God has you exactly where he wants you to be right now. If he wanted you somewhere else, he would move you there. God's a big God, he can do what he wants. So you are sent to the people around you. You say, but pastor, you don't know the situation I'm in, man. I'm the only Christian on the whole block. I'm the only Christian in my whole division. I'm the only Christian in you. And I would say, wow, God trusts you. You're the single light in that dark area. He trusts you. You've been sent to make a difference. Let's live sent. We are sent to our communities. We are sent to this world to change lives. Let's recognize that. So we are to live sent. You're not stuck, you're sent. Then what happens next? He sends them out two by two. He says this, go into the village. So he points to two disciples. Hey, you guys, go over there. He just looks up. Hey, you see that little village over there? I want you to go over there. This is what he says. He says, go into the village over there. He said, as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. That's a mother and a baby colt, okay? Untie them and bring them to me. Now, if I were one of the disciples, I'd be like, Jesus, you just asked me to commit grand theft larceny. I'm not sure this is a good idea, right? You can imagine how they would be like, I don't think we should do that. Like, that's not our donkey. It's not our colt, right? Someone cares about that donkey and colt. Raised them, fed them, and so who are we just to take it, right? And Jesus says, no, just go do what I told you to do. Now, this is really important because Jesus was filling scripture. They just thought Jesus was just asking them to do something. So he said, you two, go over there. You're going to find a donkey and a colt tied up. Just bring them to me. Now, if I were them, I would have turned and been like, let's talk about that. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You'd be like, are you sure? Because we don't really know anyone there. Can I just get some clarity? If you could just explain to me, how's it going to work? And am I going to go to jail for this? I mean, you know, do you know someone over there? I would be asking questions, but here's what I've learned about God. Faith does not require details. So God will tell you to do something, and it's just our job to obey. Quit trying to work out the details of your life when God has all that. Just obey the Lord, and he will take care of the details for you. Just want to encourage you today, because we want all those details worked out. We're like, well, I want to have all my questions answered, then I'll do what God told me to do. Do you think you're even capable of understanding all the questions you have to ask? I mean, that would require the mind of God, and I don't know if you know this or not, but you and I don't have that mind. So we're not going to fully understand everything God asks us to do. We just have to trust by faith that he's doing what he wants us to do, and he's got us. He will take care of you, right? So there was a father and a little boy. The father was dealing with his son who never wanted to go to bed, right? This is very typical little kids, right? And so he's downstairs. He's already put his, you know, little boy in bed, came downstairs. He's watching TV, and he yells up because he can hear him, you know, messing around when he should be in bed. And he says, hey, go to bed. Turn the lights off. It's bedtime. Light goes off. He looks and sees the hallway. Light goes off, right? And so then he's sitting watching TV, and then he hears his son yell down at him, Dad, I'm thirsty. He just pauses the TV and says, son, it's too late for that. Bedtime, lights out. 5 minutes later, Dad, I need some water. Pauses the TV show again. Son, I'm not telling you again. No, go to bed. When you get water, bad things happen. We already know this. So just go to sleep. 5 minutes later, Dad, I'm really thirsty. Pause the TV show again. Son, if I have to come up there, I'm going to spank you. Dad, when you come up to spank me, can you bring water? How many of you guys have this child in your home? Like, this is unbelievable, right? I wonder how many times God's like that with us. He's like, just do what I told you to do. Quit asking 100 questions. Will we just obey the Lord? But we always have questions and we want clarity. And God's like, just learn to trust. Obedience is a sign you trust God. So just obey his specific, number two, his specific instructions. So then Jesus said this. He did offer them a caveat. He said, if anyone asks what you're doing, Just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. Now, this didn't actually happen, but Jesus said, hey, look, when you get to town, he goes, go over there. When you go into the little community, over the little village over there, you're going to find a donkey and a colt tied up. Bring them to me. They're like, okay. Jesus must have saw a look on their face and said, hey, if anyone asks, just say it's for the Lord's work. Just tell them the Lord needs them. They're like, okay. So they go. And they go and they get the donkeys and they bring the donkeys back, right? But I love how Jesus says, hey, look, someone may ask you, just tell them this and just move on. Even though that answer probably sounds really incomplete to you and me, because if I was the owner of the donkey, I'd be like, hey, what are you taking my donkey for? And then you say the Lord needs them, I'd be like, I don't know who this Lord is, but they're my donkey. You gonna pay me for them? What do you do? Right? But Jesus says, just tell them that, you'll be fine. Why is Jesus saying that? Because he knows that we oftentimes get caught up in the opinion of others. So I wanna challenge you, if you're gonna follow the Lord, don't get caught up in the opinion of others. Can I tell you something? Other people's opinion, listen, I want to encourage you with this. What other people think about you is none of your business. You should just be focused on what God thinks about you. That's when we're here to worship, to answer to him and him alone and to honor him. I'm not saying we don't answer to authority. I'm not saying if you're married, you should be answering to your spouse. I get all that. I understand. But ultimately, as followers of Christ, we answer to the Lord, right? And so I just want to encourage you, we get so caught up in what people think of us. Sometimes somebody will stop me in nature and be like, man, do you know what these people think of you online? And I'm like, I don't even want to know. I do know because I've heard in the past, but I don't want to be reminded that I'm fine. Oh, but you're not going to believe what they're saying. No, I know what they're saying. And I don't mean this ugly, but I don't care because I'm answering to God. And so, oh, but people don't like you. Right, they didn't like Jesus before, they didn't like me. It's okay. That's just part of being a follower of Christ. Just don't worry about that. Oh, but what they're saying, it's untrue. I know you, it's not true about you. Right, yeah, they lie about Jesus, they're gonna lie about us. That's just part of it. Like, are you surprised by this? You shouldn't be. The Bible says it was gonna happen. Jesus said they'll hate you like they hated me. Just don't worry about it. Just do what God has called you to. We get so consumed with what someone says about us on social media. I mean, it's amazing how freaked out we get. I want to encourage you, if one person's opinion on social media will stop you, then how will you ever be used of God? You just can't worry about what other people think of you. Don't get caught up in the opinions of others. Then look what happens next. It says this, Matthew 21, verse 4. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. I love that. Now, let me show you where it said that in scripture. This is 500 to 700 years before this actually was fulfilled. It says in Zechariah chapter 9, the prophet Zechariah said this, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. And so this is really important. Number 4, remember God always keeps his promises. Has God told you something that hasn't happened yet in your life? I want to encourage you to don't quit believing in it. Don't quit believing it will happen. God, listen, God is seldom early, but he is never late. You can trust God's timing. One of the things that we see over and over in scripture is people quit trusting God's timing and they try to force something to happen themselves. And so I want to encourage you, don't do that. If you're like, man, God told me that one day I was going to get this promotion, it hasn't happened yet. I'm just going to march into my boss's office and tell them I need a promotion. That's a good way to lose your job. I recommend you wait on God. You know, single people do this all the time. Well, the Lord told me that he's going to bring me this godly man or woman in my life, but it hadn't happened yet, so I'm just going to find someone and try to make them into that. Please don't do that. God doesn't want you dating a project. You don't date projects, you date people. Trust the Lord's timing. Quit trying to force someone into the mold of what God told you. He has them out there still. So I want to encourage you, you may have to break up with someone you can see for someone you can't see yet. Have faith. Trust in God's timing. He knows what he is doing. And so I want to encourage you to know God keeps his promise. Even if it seems like forever, this was 500 years later. Jesus, you know, told some of you feel like, I feel like it's been 500 years. Well, it hasn't. Because you haven't lived 500 years. So there's no way it's been that long, but it feels like a long time. And I get that. And I want to encourage you, all of us are in God's waiting room for something. We're all waiting on something to happen in our life. In fact, the next series we're doing after Easter is called How to Wait Well. Because so many of us are in a waiting period. Waiting to meet the person of our dreams, waiting to get pregnant, waiting to get the job we want, waiting for an opportunity, waiting to finally graduate, waiting to, what are you waiting on? We're all waiting on something. So I want to encourage you to be here for that series. I promise it will bless your life. But God does keep his promises. Just trust in him. His timing is different than yours. That's a sign. That's not a sign that things aren't happening. It's a sign that you're not in control. God is. It's okay. He has this perfect time. Just trust in the Lord. There's a true story about a guy named Leighton Ford. Leighton was good friends with a guy named Billy Graham. You probably heard of him. Billy Graham passed away already, but he is considered to be the greatest evangelist in modern times. The guy was amazing. As a child, I actually heard him preach once. My parents took me to a crusade years ago in Houston. But anyways, he's a great man of God. Well, this is years and years and years before. Billy and Leighton were in their 20s. And they just graduated college, and they started this little group, and they would go around to different towns, and they would put up a big pup tent, and then they would put chairs in it, and then they would preach these crusades. And so, well, this is when Billy and Leighton and all his buddies were kind of on the same level of influence, that kind of thing. But also, now to nowhere, Billy just gets famous. Like, he just, you know, people are like, this guy's unbelievable. And so, and they were all really gifted, but for some reason, God just put his hand on Billy and was blessing him. So Leighton Ford, when he was older, used to love to tell this true story, that one particular conference, this crusade, they were going to this particular city, and Leighton came in, and he was the first night, and Billy Graham was the second night. So he's preaching, and Billy normally would fly in the day of his preaching because his schedule is really busy, like all of theirs. And so, but this particular night, he flew in early just to support his friend Leighton. So Billy Graham is sitting in the audience in the back among all these people praying for his friend Leighton who's preaching. And Leighton gets to the point in the message where he invites people to come forward to receive Christ. And he says, hey, if you want to give your life to Christ, everyone stand to your feet. You can come forward right now. And right at that point, Billy just looks over the person next to him, and he doesn't know him at all. And he says, hey, would you like to go forward and give your life to Christ? I'll go with you. And the guy looks at him and says, yeah, I was going to do that, but I'm going to wait till tomorrow night because the big guy's coming in tomorrow night. Billy Graham's supposed to be here. Had no idea he was talking to Billy Graham. You know, I wonder if we're that way, like, well, I want God to do something in my life, but I want the big guy to help me. I want it to be a big deal. When actually Jesus teaches something very powerful here. Jesus, this is called the triumphal entry. But if you were really creating a triumphal entry, it wouldn't look like this. Kings were known to have the best stables of horses. And they would have taken the best of the best. The most beautiful white horse. The strongest, the most attractive, I'm not into horses, but people who are know what that looks like. And they would have done the horse up, and then the king would have come in on this horse with all his men lined up, but Jesus comes in on a donkey? I mean, you know what the King James word is for donkey, right? Don't you spell it? It's A-S-S. That's what it is. So he comes in on a donkey. What does that mean? Well, scholars tell us that that's really an easy thing to figure out. It's humility. Jesus was humble. Did you know a donkey represents humility and the colt of a donkey represents peace? So I just want to encourage you today that he wants you to have peace and humility. Now, I find this interesting. The reason I want to mention this, number five, take on the spirit of humility and peace that Christ has for us. Let me tell you why I mention this. Because we live in a day and age where everyone wants to be a big deal. We are all now our own little kings on our little social media platforms. We want as many followers as we can, as many likes as we can. We want to look really good. We take 60 pictures and put one up and just say, just a casual shot from Tuesday. You know, it's ridiculous. And we all have our own little reality show going on, showing our lives and trying to make ourselves look great. And I find it interesting that at the peak of arrogance in our society, of thinking we're all a big deal, we also have the peak of mental illness. Isn't it interesting that we have both at the same time? Could it be because you and I were not designed to be a big deal? We were built to be humble and serve our God. I just want to challenge you to get over yourself. Does that help someone today? Because God has so much better for us. But we want to make ourselves a big deal. And so Jesus rides in on a donkey. This is not exactly a beautiful picture. And the donkey may have had some attitude like Shrek. You know what I'm saying? Yo, man, get off me. You know? I mean, I don't know. Could have been like that. So, I'm sorry, I didn't take my ADD medicine this morning. I apologize. I'll take that in a minute. But anyways, Think about this for a second. Oh, and by the way, this is really cool. This is not the first time Jesus has ridden into, has rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. This is the second time. The first time he was in his mother's womb. When Mary and Joseph came to town, right? I think it's beautiful how this is the second time we see this, that Jesus is riding on a donkey. Do you know the first time would be prophecy that the second time was coming? Isn't that good? The Bible's got so many layers. Isn't it fun to see all the layers that the Bible has like that? But I want to mention a couple things about this. I mean, the second time he rode on a donkey, not coming into Jerusalem because he was going to Bethlehem when he did that. But the point I'm trying to say here is that humility and peace go together. Arrogance and mental illness or depression also go together. So if you want to increase your mental health, don't make life about you. You are happier not focused on you. But in our society, they say, make it all about you. You're the man, you're the one, you're the person, you're the best. But we're not the best. God is. He sent his son. Make him the focal point. In fact, let me show you this in Matthew 21, verse 9. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heavens." I love this. Jesus is the center of the procession. Let me ask you something. If we were to look at your life, who's in the center? Do we put ourselves in the center? I have to be honest with you. I have to admit that many times even my prayer life is about me. Just me praying, asking God, bless me and bless this and open this door for me and give me this much money and help me in this and help me in that endeavor. And it's like, I forget that my prayer time should sound more like this. Hey, God, what would you like for me to do for you today? We even make prayer about ourselves. We make worship about ourselves. You know how I know? People come up to me, I didn't like the music. It was a little too long or too slow or too loud or too fast or whatever. And I would just smile and go, oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't for you. It wasn't for you. No offense, but the worship team is not here so you like them. They're leading you in worshiping God. It's for him. It's not for us. And so we believe in presentation, presenting our best. I'm all for that because it glorifies God. Excellence glorifies God. We're great with that. But it may not always be the way you want it. And I need to let you know something. I'm supposed to be the senior pastor around here, but I don't always think our church does what I want. But it's not supposed to. This isn't about me either. This is about, so we do all kinds of programming and stuff that I'm like, no, that's not the way I do it, but that's okay. God's getting the glory. I don't care. It's not about me. There's only one celebrity in this house. His name is Jesus. He's who we worship. He's who we focus on. He's the center of the procession. So we got to quit throwing ourselves our own parades and realize that it's for his glory that we live. We live in a world with celebrity Christians and preachers, and we all want to be our own celebrity. And again, I want to remind you that some of the most unhappy people I've ever met in my life have been people who had everything that the world had to offer, and yet they're unhappy. And so people who are happy, who have peace, put Christ at the center. If you have an unpeaceful marriage, you're probably putting yourself at the center of it. Well, I need to talk to my spouse because I don't like this and I don't like that. I need him to do this. I need more of that. What, so you can make them into you? They weren't supposed to be you. You're both different people serving the Lord. If you put Christ at the center of your marriage, you'll find peace in your marriage. You know, kids are really unhappy today, and I believe parenting is part of the problem. And I also had done this. In years past, I've done this to where I made my family kid-centered. It's not supposed to be, so if you're Christ-centered. You know, I have parents all the time, well, I'm sorry I couldn't bring my kid to youth group because you know he's got practice. And I'm like, forget practice. Go tell the coach if practice is when we got youth group, they won't be at practice. Because one day when your kid's 25 and they break down, AAU won't be there for them. Volleyball club won't be there for them. God will. So we need to make our kids and say, no, the center of our family and our world and our life is God and his house and honoring him, because that will last. That will get you through. So I want to challenge you, let's not become kid-centered, self-centered, media-centered. We center on everything, but we need to be Christ-centered. He was the center of the professional, of the processional. Will we make him the center of our lives? If we'll do that, we'll be at peace. Humility and peace if we center our life around Christ. And then, last thing I want to share, I love this. It says, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. I love this because they're entering the Passover season. That's why there's all these people coming to Jerusalem. They're coming to celebrate the Passover. It's a big celebration, big religious festival. Well, we have a really big worldwide religious festival happening next Sunday. The whole world stops to celebrate Easter. In fact, did you know that on any given weekend here in America alone, 40% of people say they're in church, 25% actually are. So even half the Christians who love God and consider themselves Christians don't show up for church. But on Easter Sunday, 80% of America is in church. That means the 40% who claim to be Christians are all here. But another 40%, the other half that will be here, don't even know the Lord. That sounds like an opportunity to me to witness to people who they're coming because their grandmama told them to come. They don't even know what Jesus is about, but then they can leave with Christ. What an opportunity to be a witness. So half the crowd said, who is this? The other half said, oh, it's Jesus. You don't know who that is? And so I want to ask you this question. Many people will ask, who is this? Will you answer them? How do you answer them in today's culture? Well, you can, of course, be a verbal witness and explain who Christ is in your life, and I recommend you do that. But even on top of that, you can simply invite someone to come to church to hear about them. Say, well, I may not have the best words to explain it, but if you'll just come to church with me next Sunday, you know, you'll hear the whole message and you can you know, judge for yourself. Just get them in the door. So my question for you is, you know, a week here from Easter, will you, two things today, if you want to know, let's get practical. What's today's message about? Two things. First of all, will you recenter your life around Jesus? That's the first thing. Will we humble ourselves and say, I want to make my life about you, not about me, God? And then because I'm making my life about you, I now want to invite someone to join me next week to hear about you. Those are two things today. Will you center Christ in your life again? Put him at the center point. And then will you invite and bring someone to hear about Jesus? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you've never given your life to Christ, across all of our campuses, those online, you can pray this prayer. You can receive Jesus right now as your Lord and your Savior. You can make him the center of your life. Pray this prayer with me. Just say this out loud. Just say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sins. And I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be the center of my life. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer, no one's looking around right now at all of our campuses, if you just gave your life to Christ, would you just hold your hand high right now? If you just accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, just hold your hand high. Thank you. There are hands going up all across our churches. Hold your hand high. Thank you. We see your hand there at Rodfield. Thank you. Praise God. Stone Oak, hold that hand high. We praise God for you. Thank God. Praise God. Thank you, Rockport, Fulton. Hold that hand high. Thank you, Portland. God's moving right there at Padre Island. Praise God. Hold your hand high. We thank God for the decision you made to give your life to Christ. If you're online with us, Ron, you can let us know about your decision to give your life to Christ by putting in the text chat. Just text, my hand's raised, or click, hand raised right now. Father, thank you for what you're doing across all of our campuses. Thank you for the way you're moving. Lord, we just humble ourselves. We step to the side. We use our palms, our own hands, to worship you and to make you the center of our lives. Father, forgive us for exalting ourselves. Instead, we humble ourselves and exalt you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you do in our lives. Thank you that you came and died for us. Lord, as we enter this week, Easter week, may we be ever mindful that every day we take closer to Sunday is a day you took closer to the cross. Thank you, God, for your sacrifice. Because without it, we are nothing. We are nothing without your sacrifice. Thank you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? His word is so good.